It's called Champagne Charlie. It was a music hall song from the 19th century, written by Alfred Lee with lyrics by George Leyburn. And at least according to Wikipedia, which of course is always a dubious way to go about these things, Leyburn's performance was in top hat and tails, typically. Dressed in evening dress, gloves, cane, and scarf, and in a way, that's a setup for the performer in this case, who was Leon Redbone from his early CD called Champagne Charlie from 1978, obviously the title track from that, because he's got his own visual way of presenting things. He's does the dark glasses and kind of a Panama-type fedora hat and various jackets over the years and so on. He's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts a week from tonight. And it was really interesting to me exploring some of his recordings, how little the sound has changed from 1978 when that was made to 1992 when he gave a live performance at the Olympia Theater in Paris, France. And that was recorded, and that is in fact the name of the CD, Leon Redbone Live, 1992, from which comes this tune. Leon Redbone, guitar, vocals, and made the arrangement of that traditional tune called She's My Gal. He was joined by cornet player Scott Black, pianist David Bodinghouse, and guitarist Frank Vignola, live at the Olympia Theater in Paris, France, on October the 26th of 1992. Leon Redbone will be with pianist Paul Asaro at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts a week from tonight, 7:30 p.m. show. And he is my guest on Live and Local. Thanks for joining us.
Why, thank you.
When and why did you become Leon Redbone?
What does that mean exactly?
Well, there are rumors that you weren't born that way, so to speak.
Oh, well, you know, there you go. One never knows, I guess. You're talking about in the internet world, I take it.
Oh, of course. That's where everyone gets their news anymore. I'm not going to presume that any of it's accurate as to actually who you were before.
Right.
And you can talk about that or not, but I'm just curious how you acquired your name and the persona and why this kind of music.
Well, I'm always interested in this kind of music, and have been for many years. More years than I care to remember, but it's, you know, you got to do something, I guess, in this world. And the thing that resonated with me was the music that was not very abundant in the certain time frame. It's amazing how much stuff there is now compared to what there was available not that many years ago. So if anything, it's the volume of things that somehow have been pushed out into the general public, I guess. But interestingly enough, that which resonates with most people is the latest, whatever it is.
So when
it's an interesting perspective to appreciating music. It's as if you're grabbing the end of the chain and not realizing that the chain is 5 miles long. You know what I mean.
So when you say that you there's a lot more stuff available now, meaning of the old music, more has come to light in the since you actually got started in this business? Is that what you mean?
No, I was trying to be negative actually, which is to say that the the targeting of music apparently does work. And so it's really up to the individual to make that decision whether or not they like what they're hearing, which is what is recorded today, versus what they're missing, which is most of music. The rest of the music. In other words, it's as if you're opening a bottle of wine and tasting the first quarter inch and then throwing the rest away.
If you compartmentalize your musical interests as a listener.
Yeah, I mean, there doesn't seem to be very much in the way of adventure or just trying to find something. But strangely enough, everything that's produced and presented to the general public usually involves a lot of research, no matter what it is. Films, recordings, used to be that way. But everything is at the moment. It's a shallow look into the potential for, enlightenment, I guess. Maybe it's a curious thing. In my case, I always liked what I like. I just like operatic recordings is what I... At that point in history, it was not as easy to find things. I mean, you could find things in secondhand stores or junk records and 78s and so forth. It was a wonderful surprise for, if you found something that was interesting. I don't think that much of it... it still exists to some... internet auction sites, I'm sure you could probably do that now. But there's not a great deal of interest in the general population to accept anything other than what is presented to them directly. So I don't think that's a plus. I think it's sort of narrows the potential appreciation of music in general.
Would you consider that you were inspired by somebody to do this music from the early 1900s, for the most part, I guess, what you're doing? Did somebody inspire you to do that, or did you have family that was listening to this kind of music all the time, and it just is something that resonated particularly with you?
Well, I like all kinds of music. I've always been that way. I've listened to music from wherever I could find it. All kinds of music, you name it. Whatever was being recorded in the 1920s and in some cases earlier than that, they were more or less readily available, depending on where you were at that time, whatever time that was. And you could just see, you could still do it today. You can go to an antique store and see what's there. Unfortunately, they're beginning to look a little less as like antique stores used to look a certain way. So a lot of that, I don't know if you go to flea markets and auction houses and antique enclosed environments, but you will notice one thing is that the 78s that you come across are really, they're not as old as they used to be. So they're depleted after all these years.
A lot of them probably got broken.
Well, a lot of them get broken, but still, you'd be lucky to find a good stack of 1920s recordings. They obviously exist, and I do know that there are auction sites who painstaking effort of putting all the titles and everything and posting them, and they're still there, but eventually they're all going to disappear.
Well, you asked about flea markets, and I'd have to say honestly that I think I have avoided flea markets studiously since I was a kid, and my parents who did flea markets and set up at them dragged us to all of these.
Well, they frightened you, the whole concept, walking around and everything.
Yeah, I didn't understand why anybody would be interested in buying these little glass insulators that would sit on the top of telephone poles, electric lines and things
right,
like that.
Yeah.
But, in a way that when you got going, you were a little bit of a novelty or maybe a lot of a novelty, bringing back this old music back in the 70s or so. But now I read some quotation here from one of the reviews on your website that suggests you're not a novelty anymore, because maybe in part because it seems like there is a resurgence in older music of all kinds, but you've become almost an institution in the way you present this music.
Well, that sounds promising if that's the case.
Well, the context was certainly complimentary.
Ah, well, that's good.
That you were novel then, and it brought you a certain fame quickly. But, well, here's the quote. Redbone's act is no longer a novelty. It's a distinctive, warmly welcome persona that stands out on the musical landscape. And you've kept this persona with, you know, your particular look, with the Panama hat and the dark glasses. And somebody said the Frank Zappa mustache, the Colonel Sanders suit, and H.G. Wells' time machine. And I read somewhere that if anybody could actually invent a real time machine, you'd be the first one to hop on it.
I'd have somebody else test it first.
Do you, I mean, you don't really have to tell me what your home looks like, but do you typically surround yourself in older things? Do you, I know you say you like lots of different kinds of music, but the type of music that you perform and the aura you create on stage is of an older era, vaudevillian era, a consistent look that you have as a performer?
Yeah, well, I guess it does sound a bit, I mean, it seems a little unusual for a lot of people, I guess, if they really wanted to try and delve into what it is that inspires a person and a person of a certain age as to, you know, belongs to a certain category of music and so forth and so on. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you look at the musical history of the world, you'll realize that that really doesn't make any sense at all. Nobody's ever said that in a presentation of classical music as we know it. Music of Mozart or, you know, Handel is still being played today, but I don't recall anybody referring to it as a novelty approach to introducing music from the past. It's a little confusing, isn't it? I mean, why would that definition apply to certain people versus the classical presentation, for instance? I mean, what is the difference? It's essentially the same thing. It's interpretation and presentation of older tunes at whatever time you're presenting it, you know, 5 years afterwards or 100 years, 200 years later. So I've never really understood that. I think it's just, I think most of those definitions and really have to do with the limited knowledge of the people who were writing at the time, thinking that, well, if somebody's not interested in what's happening today, they're obviously some kind of interested in a novelty approach, so they decided to use this as the vehicle. And how would one interpret this? How would you interpret that if that was indeed the case?
When I take my sugar to tea, all the boys are jealous of me. Well, I never take away the game.
Leon Redbone, When I Take My Sugar to Tea. He was joined by bassist Brian Nalepka, drummer Arnie Kinsella, guitarist Frank Vignola, and clarinet and sax player Ken Poplawski. It was from his his CD called Sugar from 1990. And we'll hear, you can hear him live, see him live at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts next Thursday, not tonight, next Thursday at 7:30. And we'll be back with him in just a moment. Should Black History Month be ended? That's a question that is asked and some answers presented in a program called More Than a Month. It's our next community cinema presentation. It examines what the treatment of history tells us about race and power in contemporary America. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library next Tuesday, February 7th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guest is Leon Redbone. I haven't seen your stage show, although I've seen some videos of clips of you on stage.
There's very little dancing.
There's very little dancing. Most, I think all of what I've seen, you're in a chair. You've got a light next to you. You've got a little desk. You got your legs crossed, and you're playing the guitar, and you're hidden behind the glasses, and you don't move your mouth much. And somehow this wonderfully warm sound comes out, and a whole lot of what I hope you don't mind if I say droll wit in the presentation of the lighter-hearted songs, but also a lot of what sounds to me like really heartfelt, soulful presentation of some of the slower songs. And I guess I kind of wonder what goes on behind those glasses when you're sitting on the stage that the audience can't see. We hear what we hear, but we can't really see what's happening.
Well, that's right. Records, you couldn't see anything on record either.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just it's a well-crafted song written by those wonderful songwriters of the days gone by who could basically infuse in a simple melody some kind of sentiment that is, and hopefully still is, a certain response to that kind of music that I think is universal. You don't even have to know the words, actually. I mean, there's something about words combined with music and the way the music is presented which gives a universal interpretation. So it's strange in some ways, but so somehow if the words aren't quite working for you, then the melodies will work. And if you understand the words and you understand the melody and the sentiment, then you will respond to it. Which is, without presenting this as a curmudgeon, if you listen to a lot of music of today, very little of that is part of the presentation. There's no great sentiment in a lot of terms. I mean, I don't deal with sentiment, but it's just a way of expression, way of expressing some mood with well-crafted songs of years gone by that I've always resonated with me. My main interest was operatic presentations, but not that I was interested in being involved in that world, but just that era of these wonderful melodies with great passion and virtuosity somehow sent this mood without understanding a single word. You could understand that it was a powerful, well-crafted, and well-executed aria, whatever it may have been. But everybody's compartmentalized these days. So if you like country music, you just listen to country music. If you like operatic recordings, you're a weirdo and you only want to listen to some weird stuff. That is possibly something to do with marketing, brainwashing, or just plain insensitive members of society that somehow only resonate to what they've been told is good or bad without being able to discern the difference themselves.
I'm going to assume that most of the listeners to this particular program, because Live and Local covers so many different types of music, And it also happens to land in the middle of the classical music day that most listeners who grab this show and are hearing us talk right now probably have a fairly eclectic interest. So
what's wrong with that?
You might be preaching to the converted already.
I wasn't trying to preach.
No,
I
know.
Trying to answer the question. I thought I may have heard. But that's my general approach to music. It's a song is a song. If it's a great song, and it's usually quite evident that it is a very good song. And because there's no point in trying to interpret a song you think is it's pretty dull and not doing much of anything. And it doesn't have to be serious. It could be a lighthearted song. It's just as powerful a vehicle as one that's extremely sentimental. How do you weigh that? I just feel in general that people have just got further and further away from sentiment in musical presentation, and that's essentially it.
Well, let me play for our listeners a song that, before we actually started recording, you said, oh, I kind of forgot about that one, which is from your album called Anytime from 2001. This is a song called Moonlight Bay. I don't know who wrote this.
Well, in that case, I'll claim it.
Go right ahead. But you can definitely claim that you're performing it because you are. Redbone singing on Moonlight Bay from his 2001 album called Anytime. He's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts with pianist Paul Acero next Thursday, February 9th at 7:30. And he's my guest here on Live and Local. You pretty well described some of the criteria you have for choosing the songs that you've chosen. As I said earlier, I've not seen you live, and I think I've been more aware of you peripherally from some of the almost pop culture references that you've gotten yourself involved in over a long period of time. You've showed up in a movie with Will Ferrell called Elf. You've been in television commercials, including a Budweiser commercial. You've made an early appearance on Saturday Night Live back in the mid-70s. And I have a quote here from you that said, quote, "I think of these things as obstacles rather than opportunities," unquote. What did you mean by that?
No idea. I guess I had to say something. What is it in reference to being on a show or something?
No, I think it's just in reference to, in general, showing up on television commercials or in films or things, doing all these things that are not performing live on stage in a concert situation.
Well, I don't mind doing them. Maybe it might have been the wrong quote, perhaps, that was used. But
you seem like you're having fun when you do those things.
Well, no, that definitely wouldn't be me then. It must be somebody else.
You were, I read you were a favorite guest of Johnny Carson's. Did you, and it's, he is long, he is dearly lamented.
Very unfortunate. I found him to be the nicest human being in the television world. It's unfortunate that he passed away so quickly after that time frame.
He didn't always talk with his musical guests much. Were you one that he would speak with besides just have you play?
I think I did something. I sat down, and I think it may have ended up, he asked me to sing another song or something from the bench, but I could be wrong. You see these people for many years, and then you end up sitting next to them or talking to them. He's the only one that actually I found to be extremely genuine.
When you do your stage show, which is mostly what you do, of course, are there any particular performers from the vaudeville era that you either had in mind when you first got started or have in mind when you're performing now? Modeled yourself on, inspired by?
I enjoyed all those people, and a lot of them were alive. Not the very early ones from the 1860s and 70s. They died off pretty quick. But there are many vaudevillians and music hall performers around for a long time, and they just kept on at it. It's a vaudeville frame of mind, I guess. They just kept on doing what they did until the end, because that's what they did, and didn't make any difference if they were 80 or 95 or 100. Burns is a good example. So it's essentially, it's what you do. It's not a question of, putting 40 years in and retiring in a community somewhere, which is basically the basic mindset for most people who are interested in doing whatever they do. It's a different approach to life, I guess. I mean, if you can still play it, Horowitz was, played for all those years and played quite well.
Do you consider yourself a vaudeville performer in the 2000s?
No, I've noticed that some interviews end up, if they write something, they refer to it as a vaudevillian. I don't do vaudeville. I don't have a stand-up routine. It's appearing in a vaudeville show doesn't mean that you're a vaudeville performer, other than the fact that you're physically appearing in a vaudeville performance house. But, vaudeville is nothing more than a 3 to 5 minute act repeated over the course of the evening, which is hardly what I do. In fact, I don't have an act. I wouldn't even qualify for a vaudeville show. That'd be the interlude for one song, maybe. That would be about it.
But you do have certainly a persona. You have... That you have adopted. I mean, are you wherever you're sitting now? Do you have your hat and dark glasses on?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
I'll do.
I have a corduroy hat at the moment, but the look doesn't change. I don't wear a costume to go on stage. It's usually the way I dress. So I don't wear a cape or anything. there's nothing unusual about what I wear. A jacket, trousers. Shoes, boots mainly, a waistcoat, tie. I mean, these are not unusual things, but they may be to some people.
Well, I wanted to share another tune from your live album because it shows off your wonderful whistling, which not everybody does very well anymore. In fact, that one of the best whistlers I ever heard was on Johnny Carson years ago, and you topped that guy.
No. Who was that? Elmo Tanner?
Oh, geez, I don't remember. It was actually some young kid who had won some whistling contest.
You like to have some of those novelty things just to make it more interesting, and he was right.
This tune is called The Whistling Colonel, from the live album from the Olympia Theater in Paris in 1992, Leon Redbone on Live and Local. Thinking of you. There was one more from the live record of Leon Redbone from the Olympia Theater in Paris in October 26th of 1992. And it's been a pleasure to have him on the show today. It's live and local here on FM 90.9. And again, he'll be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts next Thursday at 7:30. I'm told there aren't very many tickets left to that show. So you might want to make the call sooner than later or check out their website. You can get tickets either way. The box office number, toll-free, is 866-686-9541. By the way, tell them Live and Local sent you. I'm always curious to know how many people do hear the show and go out to see things as a result of hearing the show, because that is why the show is here, in part, so that we can encourage people to go out and hear live performances of all kinds, but also so we can give exposure, especially to local performers who might not otherwise get that exposure and who you might not otherwise have heard of. Leon Redbone, of course, somebody you're likely to have heard of, but you may not have known he was going to be in the area. Their website is artsblooming.org, artsblooming.org. And as I mentioned a few times, he'll be with pianist Paula Serra, who actually is a resident of Champaign, and we'll be hearing from him in just a moment. Thursday, WYLL and its community partners, next Thursday, and his community partners will team up again to fight hunger this year. For every pledge made to WYLL, Common Ground Food Co-op will donate the cost of 8 meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Your pledge during this drive will support inspiring music and also help to fight hunger here in our community. Paula Serra was actually on the show last March, March 7th of 2011. I should really rephrase that, I guess. We went to his space. He's got an old Steinway that he houses at the Blind Pig in downtown Champaign, and when he's in town, he just goes over there and plays it for whoever happens to be around. And we decided to be around and set up a microphone, and we did an hour live show with him, invited a small audience, and it was a great deal of fun. And I thought I'd play a couple of or three of the tunes that he played during that show. The opening riff, so to speak, was a tune called Riffs by James P. Johnson. Here's Paula Serra from last March on Live and Local. Thank you. That was pianist Paul Acero, who will be playing with Leon Redbone in Bloomington next Thursday night. He's actually resident in Champaign, travels regularly with Redbone, and was in his studio, so to speak, which is to say the Blind Pig, a bar in downtown Champaign, last March. And we did a live show of Live and Local with him there and the audience and so forth, and that was a great deal of fun. And I don't think we've ever actually rebroadcast that whole show, so we'll be planning to do that at some point soon, and we'll hear more from that in just a couple minutes. Wanted to tell you some of the other events going on in our area that you can go out and see and hear live. It's a regular, almost weekly feature of Live and Local for us to do that for you. At Illinois State University tonight, it's the orchestra's Concerto Aria Finals, which you can hear at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts, not to be confused with the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. This one's on the campus in Normal, 7 o'clock tonight. The New Orleans Jazz Machine are playing on the Uncorked program at the Krannert Center in Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. That's free. The Pacifica Quartet are playing later in the evening at the Krannert Center, not for free. They're continuing their traversal of the Beethoven String Quartets. That's at 7:30 tonight. Also at 7:30 at the Krannert Center, University of Illinois Department of Theater presents The Last Days of Judas Iscariot tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at 7:30. The Axiom Brass Quintet are playing at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tonight at 7:30. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana are opening Stephen Sondheim's musical company tonight at 8 o'clock. It runs through Sunday and then for the next couple of weekends as well, and we'll be having them on the show pretty soon. The Prairie Dogs, oops, that one already happened. Never mind about that. University of Illinois, one of the jazz combos, will be at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, Red Mask Players in Danville present The Girls in 509 at the Catherine Randolph Theater at 8 o'clock tomorrow and Saturday. I think those are the last two performances. Charleston Alley Theater are presenting three one-act plays, Mrs. Sorkin, The Nature and Purpose of the Universe, and Death Comes to Us All. I guess it's another one, Mary Agnes, or maybe it's Death Comes to Us All, Mary Agnes. I'm sorry, I don't know the names of these plays. I'm looking at a listing here. 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. Let me correct that again. 7:30 tomorrow night and Saturday night. Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It's Charleston Alley Theater. Check their website to clarify all of that. The Big Creek Guitar Band will be at the Pink House in Ogden tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. St. Patrick's Crew Youth Group, based in St. Patrick's Church in Urbana, are presenting Death of a Doornail in the Parish Center in Urbana tomorrow evening and tomorrow evening at 7 and then Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Dan Hubbard and the Humidors are at Boo Boo's Doghouse in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. Mike Fanolio and Clark Gibson Quintet are at the Red Herring Coffee House on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tomorrow night at 8:30. The Prairie Dogs are at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5. Bruiser and the Virtues are at Huber's in Champaign tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And it's the Brian Chobin Jazz Quintet at Eaton Gallery in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. This is 90.9 WYLFM in HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of new arrivals from Heritage Wine Cellars, followed by live music from 7 to 9 by Jeff Helgeson. Let's go out with another from Paul Acero from that live show we did with him last March. He's the pianist who'll be with Leon Redbone next week. And let's see, we're going to play as much as we can get in here of The Crave by Jelly Roll Morton. Thank you.